I've been thinking today about a bulletin board in my fifth grade classroom. It would have been early 1972, and my project was to post photographs of the people running for president that year. So there, no doubt scavenged from the New York Times, was Richard Nixon. I remember George McGovern and Hubert Humphrey, a name a 10-year-old would love. George Wallace, too, a fifth grade New Yorker, would know there was some trouble with him down in the South. But there's one face that I remember pinning on that board with special enthusiasm. It was a woman's face, and a black woman's face at that. It was Shirley Chisholm, and even at the age of 10, I knew there was something remarkable about the fact that she was up there. That's what I was thinking of this morning, after I heard that Shirley Chisholm died over the weekend at the age of 80. She was the first African-American woman elected to Congress. She pulled off an upset in 1968 to represent some of the poorest parts of Brooklyn. The daughter of Caribbean immigrants, she'd go on to help found the Congressional Black Caucus and the National Organization for Women. And on January 25, 1972, she became the first woman to seek the Democratic presidential nomination. Here's how she announced her candidacy at the Concord Baptist Church in Brooklyn.
I stand before you today as a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States of America. I am not the candidate of Black America, although I am black and proud. I am not the candidate of the women's movement of this country, although I am a woman and I'm equally proud of that. I am not the candidate of any political bosses or fat cats or special interests. I stand here now without endorsements from many big-name politicians or celebrities or any other kind of prop. I do not intend to offer to you the tired and glib clichés which for too long have been accepted part of our political life. I am the candidate of the people of America, and my presence before you now symbolizes a new era in American political history.
In that speech, Chisholm called U.S. involvement in Vietnam a terrible tragedy, an ill-conceived blunder. She accused the Nixon administration of deceit and deception, the disgusting playing of divisive politics, and she wrapped up this way.
I would remind all Americans at this hour of the words of Abraham Lincoln, "A house divided cannot stand." We Americans are all fellow countrymen, one day confronting the judgment of history in our country. We are all God's children, and the will of each of us is as precious as the will of the most powerful general or corporate millionaire. Our will can create a new America in 1972, one where there is freedom from violence and war, at home and abroad, where there's freedom from poverty and discrimination, where there exists at least the feeling that we are making progress in ensuring for everyone medical care, employment, and decent housing, where we more decisively clean up our streets, our water, and our air, where we work together, black and white, to rebuild our neighborhoods and to make our cities quiet, attractive, and efficient, and fundamentally, where we live in the confidence that every man and every woman in America has at long last the opportunity to become all that he was created of being, such as is his ability. In conclusion, all of you who share this vision, from New York to California, from Wisconsin to Florida, our brothers and sisters on the road to national unity and a new America.
Shirley Chisholm didn't win any primaries in the 1972 campaign. She kept her seat in Congress, retiring after seven terms in 1982. Shirley Chisholm died at her home in Florida on Saturday night at the age of 80.
And our thanks to Andy Lancet and the WNYC Archives for the tape from 1972. You're listening to All Things Considered.